Yes for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, college football fans, and all the Army teams as they seek to beat Navy and win the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy. Yes for Football has more exclusive content available on Patreon at Ask for Football. You can also find out more information and sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of As for Lax. So As for Lax is basically our version of As for Football, but it's for spring sports. We're also going to talk about Army, Navy, baseball. We have special guests here, and he's going to dive into a little bit of his background and tell us about Army baseball if you're not watching. I would tell you, and Dan has mentioned this several times on the show before, baseball at Army is one of the lost secrets. Like, they're great every year. They play great sport. They play great ball, and it's kind of what you would expect a baseball game to be. And it's not like 47 hours long and
they run,
blocks,
they catch. Yeah, they do all the baseball stuff.
Yeah, but it's actually fun. And so, anyway, moving on from that, I'm your host Rob here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We've got Dan in Coastal Connecticut, and we've got Kyle in Little Rock, Arkansas. So how are we doing today, gentlemen?
Never better, man. Kyle, thank you so much for coming on. As I told you before we, you know, got on the air, I'm so happy that you came on to talk about baseball, because our As for Baseball coverage just isn't what we were hoping it would be this season. And it sucks because the baseball team is really good. So I have a baseball player to talk about baseball, and I feel blessed about that. So we're going to get into your background, but how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I appreciate the opportunity. I've listened to you guys for a long time. I really appreciate it in the fall. And I like being able to bring some perspective of, you know, a former baseball player and one who enjoys watching. So, yeah, good opportunity.
So you're watching every game that you can catch, like on a Tuesday, Army versus Bucknell?
You know what's so nice is they're all on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
It's great. Like, that was so different than the past. We used to be lucky to be on the radio. But now almost every game is on. So, yeah, I'm off for the day. I'll flip it on the weekends. And so it really can be really nice.
Cool. Very cool.
All right. So if you've listened to this show at all more than once, you know that we have a commercial here and a sponsor. And that sponsor is Craig Oxane. He is the vice president for residential lending or New American Funding. He's a class of 1994 grad. He can lend in all 50 states. Craig is based out of Chicago. He has one of the biggest VA lending opportunities in the country. He has super competitive rates. Craig is going to give you the best deal that he possibly can. Friends, the whole mortgage process is super confusing. And by the way, it is a seller's market right now. So if you're looking to buy a house, it becomes even more complex because you're going to be negotiating for a much better rate. And so if you can get a good rate on that house that you're trying to buy, Craig is the person that can do it. Really, the reality of it is you just want to deal with somebody that's not trying to make a buck off of you, and you want to deal with somebody that actually cares, not a call center, not a random big box bank or random website. This is how the Westport Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and he can help you get a better deal by introducing to the very man that you want to meet. Craig does not charge lenders fees for veterans, so that's a savings of about $1,300. Get that money. If you don't, you can sponsor Ask for Football for a season with the check that you save from Craig Oxane. Anyway, check out Craig Oxane, VP of Residential Lending for New American Funding. Check him out. His link is on the website. Just click on the picture, fill out the questionnaire, and you'll be talking to Craig in a few minutes. Let's talk lacrosse. Dano, what do you got?
So Army lacrosse is 10-2 right now. They are ranked 12th in the nation, and that doesn't matter at all because their two losses came in the Patriot League to Patriot League foes Colgate and Boston University. So, you know, at one point, it looked like Army might actually have to play in a quarterfinal game in the Patriot League tournament. Thankfully, the last couple weeks have gone about as well as they were going to go. You know, Army beat Navy. That game was rad. They then kicked the crap out of Bucknell, which was not actually much of a surprise. What was a surprise was that Lehigh came through and beat Colgate and Boston University in back-to-back weeks, which put four teams in a tie at first place with 5-2 conference records, which is Colgate, Army, Loyola, and Lehigh. And Bucknell and Navy are now tied in second place with a 4-3 conference record. Navy and Boston University are now tied in second with a 4-3 record. And all of this, you know, James published this wacko thing on Twitter that explains the 50,000 ways that this can come out. It's going to be over Friday night. By Saturday morning, we'll know everything that we want to know. So this Friday night, BU plays at Colgate at 6 p.m. Army plays at Loyola at 7 p.m. Lehigh plays at Lafayette at 7:30 p.m. Army's game is the only one that's going to be televised against CBS Sports. Loyola right now is checking in at number 20 nationally, which is a switch. Ben, they got off to a rough start, but they bounced back and won five games in a row. Friends, the top six teams make this Patriot League tournament. But there's, like I said, two different ties. Four teams tied for first, two teams tied for second. We know who the top six teams are, but like Army could finish anywhere from the number one seed to the number six seed, depending on how much wackiness happens on Friday. If Army wins and Colgate loses, then we're number one. If Army wins and Colgate wins and Lehigh wins, then that creates a three-way tie at the top of the conference. And James, if he was on, could tell us what the tiebreaker is, but Army's going to win that tiebreaker. I don't know if it's goal differential or if it's your the overall record, but regardless, Army's going to win that three-way tiebreaker. The only way that Army wins and doesn't come out as the top seed is if Colgate wins and Lafayette wins, which would be nuts. Of course, if Army loses Friday, then all kind of shit can happen, and that would be bad. So that's it, man. Loyola Lacrosse has really found itself over the back half of the season. You know, they lost to Maryland, John Hopkins, Rutgers, Duke, Colgate, and Boston University. And since then, they've won five straight, beating Lafayette, Lehigh, Bucknell, Holy Cross, Navy. Their overall record is no way as impressive as Army's, but they've been playing consistent winning lacrosse for more than a month now. And Army hasn't been consistent like that at all, especially late in the season.
Yeah, one of the interesting things is it's always interesting to watch teams that start hot and kind of playing off in the middle. And then, you know, going into the playoff is always looks tricky. And if you're going to peak, you want to be peaking going into the playoffs, which is always, you know, there's teams that have made their living, you know, in all levels, stepping onto the playoff field and winning big. So
absolutely,
it's going to be interesting to see.
Army has a kind of a tendency to swoon a little bit in April, which I think just sort of coincides with the natural rhythm of cadet life. You know, you get into some of those like WPR number two in calculus, and it's a little harder to like focus on, oh, we're playing Boston University on the road on Friday night.
No,
I mean, that's just reality. But they usually bounce back and play pretty well in May. So we shall see how this goes. They really need to win. Kyle, have you watched any of this?
Yeah, I've watched some of the lacrosse games. I mean, what an exciting season for them.
It's been wild.
And we're always on the precipice of, if we lose again, we're out. Like,
oh yeah,
I don't know how,
for sure.
That's crazy. And how exciting to go into last weekend of, we're going to be in it.
Yeah.
Good.
Right.
And yeah. Be hosting and all those things. Yeah, it's some good lacrosse classmates, and lots of fun to watch them as a cadet. And it's fun to watch them increasing. They're becoming better and better. And
absolutely. So let me ask you this. Obviously, you want to be number one or two, because then you get the bye week. You don't have to play that quarterfinal game. Did you play better, or at least as well, on the road? I know for me, being at home at West Point was like nothing. You know, it's almost, I'd almost rather be at the hotel, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's the hotel, which we were like three and someone's on the floor. We were taking tests on the road too, if you remember.
Oh yeah, for sure. I did that.
We're gonna break that up. I'm gonna talk a little bit about the baseball.
Okay, fair enough.
Home field advantage based on how you play and who's there. And I think the lacrosse teams get a good attendance. Like, I would assume they're going to have lots of fans there cheering on the Mikey. So I think that's going to be helpful.
So just to preview the game a little bit, this week's Friday's game, Loyola, like, they have a tendency to really start strong. And if you've watched Army lacrosse, they have a tendency to fall behind in the first quarter. So those two things do not mesh. And both of their best wins this season, which is against Lehigh and against Navy, Loyola got out to big leads early and then just held on as much as they possibly could. They're not great at the faceoff circle. They've got a freshman Fogo named Carson Hall. He's won just 67 of 172 faceoffs this season. I have no idea if Will Coletti's going to start this week, if he's, you know, healthy or what that hamstring's doing. But, you know, Army started a new guy, plebe Robert Simone. He won 16 of 27 faceoffs against Bucknell. Dude looked awesome. So I'm not too worried about that end of it. Definitely want to have him back, Coletti back before the tournament, but I think Simone might have it this week. And then Loyola has a really good goalie, Luke Stoud. I hope I said that right. Had 12 saves against Navy last week, Patriot League Goalie of the Week. So, I mean, this is a game that Army should win in theory, even if that, like I said, even if that's to sit Coletti. But if they get off to a slow start, like that's how they lost both of the games that they lost, was getting off to a slow start, being a little out of rhythm, and then things just sort of never came together. And, you know, this Loyola team's got a good defense. They got a good goalie. If they start scoring points too, that's trouble. So
I don't think there's a sport where momentum is a bigger factor than you can stay on one side of the field.
Absolutely.
Out of bounds. I didn't understand that at first. You can just roll and roll and roll. And Army showed that this year. Like in when they're blowing teams out, they're staying up. But when they've had the struggle games, they just haven't kept the momentum going.
Yeah. That's what happened with especially Boston University is, you know, they were missing shots, missing passes, and then they forced turnovers, and then BU would break that. They couldn't break BU's ride. So I think that the new goalie, the yearling, I can't come up with his name right now and I'm embarrassed. He's been better about managing the clearing game. I think that's the biggest reason why he's been getting the start. But, you know, what do I know? Like you said, I'm a swimmer.
Yeah. So, again, if you haven't planned to watch it, I would suggest that you do. And if you get a chance to catch a lacrosse game at Mikey Stadium, I would encourage you to do so. If you are in the great Northeast, get over there and check it out. Because, again, it's one thing to have fellow cadets watching your games, but it's also nice to have a crowd, particularly if you got the home field advantage. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, but we've got another commercial. So if you like Ask for Football and want to support our coverage of Army Sports and the American Football Conference, we can use your help through Patreon. Go to patreon.com/AskForFootball to learn more. We have some links on our website. At the yearling level, you get our weekly games and locks. At the Cal level, you get that plus the scouting report. At the Firstie level, get access to our exclusive Firstie Club, which is our private Facebook group for our top level patrons. This is the best place to talk Army sports and college sports in general because we're all super fans. We try very, very hard to keep it positive, and it's a private group. So, you know, it's like Vegas, whatever happens there stays there. And the reality of it is we spent a lot of money over the past year to increase the quality of the show. We're now using StreamYard, which gives access to the audience to communicate with us while we're doing the show live. We're using Podcastle AI to improve sound quality, and we have regular recording times that are posted ahead of time so people can jump on board and catch us live. All that stuff takes time and money, and that's why we need your support. So go to askforfootball.com/subscribe, and you can get on the mailing list and check out our Patreon and sign up. Anyway, back over to you, Dan.
Okay, so one thing I know that the Army coaching staff likes us to do is to get old grads on the show to talk about all the awesome stuff that you're doing in your lives. You are a surgeon, so Kyle, tell us a little bit about yourself and brag to the fine folks who are thinking about going to West Point.
Sure. Yeah, so I was in B2, class of 2002, so bicentennial class.
Awesome.
So that was great. I did life science chemistry when I was there.
That is no joke. As a course water, holy smell.
I think juice and life science kind of try to figure out like which one's gonna hurt me.
That is commendable.
Yeah, it was fun. And then I played baseball all 4 years. I was all conference a couple times, and I was awarded the Red Leader Award my senior year.
Awesome.
Went Armor. Went to Fort Hood. I guess it's Cabezos now. And I spent about a third of my time deployed, kind of like all of us did that night. Went to Iraq and spent time in Iraq and Kuwait. Most of my time at Fourth ID. Took over. Actually, my first day at Fort Hood was we're getting on the railhead and we're going. And then the year to my day of my graduation was you're taking over platoon in Iraq. So
yeah, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's really amazing.
Yeah, it was the timing was great. Did that for 5 years. Knew I still enjoyed medicine and I wanted to go in that. Didn't really know what. Joined the National Guard when I got out and went to medical school. Did that in Texas. Still in the National Guard during medical school. And then I went to Arkansas for residency in surgery. And then we've been back to Houston for a couple of years for trauma fellowship and ICU fellowship. And now I'm back in Arkansas and I run our hospital.
Trauma.
And then I run a state trauma program too. So that's really what I do is just trauma. Like that's my thing.
I kind of figured it was something like that when you're like, oh yeah, I'd love to jump on unless they call me into surgery.
Yeah.
It was like, well, okay.
It was close today. I'll be honest. They called me like 5 o'clock. I'm like, oh, I think the other person's here. But yeah, it's new and different stuff every day. Lots of the things that you learn at West Point in the Army are applicable to other facets of your life. And it seems true for medicine. Like it's doing the right things, having good judgments. It's having competence. I go back to you might have been at West Point when Schwarzkopf came back after the Gulf War.
Yeah, I was there for that.
Competence and character.
Absolutely.
That's a lot of it comes down to that. Competence, character, and judgment. So I think it's very applicable. And they look for you to be in leadership position. But I think that's helped as well, kind of done those type of things.
That sounds awesome, man. Very impressive. Congratulations. That's a good story. And I'm glad we got a chance to get you to tell it. So, with that said, tell us a little bit about Army baseball. Like, yeah, those of us who have watched maybe a whole game, maybe 9 innings of baseball this season.
Yeah. So the baseball team's doing really well. They're not doing as well as last year.
Okay.
They just dominated. Last year, 21-4 in conference. Unheard of dominance. But let me give you a little bit of context. When I graduated, so 22 years ago, we were 94-69. So we're 25 games behind Navy. This weekend, we could tie them or go ahead of them in the all-time record. So we've
played
about 24 games in the last 22 years. So doing really well. Have been really successful, won a lot of tournaments. This year, I guess you could say tied for first or kind of right there with Navy. We played Navy 2 games. We split with them. We're leading all the other teams in the conference as far as head-to-head.
Right.
The weekend left at Lehigh and Lafayette. So if we beat Navy to win the series, win 2 of those 3 games this weekend, we're first place in the conference for the regular season. And that's really important because that sets the stage for the playoffs. The playoffs are 2 different weekends, 1 plays 4 and 3 plays 2. And then the winners of those play at the higher rank. And if you're the home team, if you're the host site, you're the home team each game. And that is a big deal in baseball because you get last bats. You have to go on. So that's really important. That's what they did last year. And hopefully they can continue that. If we continue at the current pace, that's how it should continue. So against Navy, won 6 of last 7 and 10 of the last 12. So that's fantastic. Won all 5 last year against split this year. And then we're narrowing that series. I'd love to see them go ahead of Navy this weekend for the first time in a long time. I didn't look it up, but it's decades that Navy's led that. So Navy's had a good year. They're
3-6
at home, but they're only 9-7 on the road. And we have them at Doubleday Field this time. We're Army's 7-5, so not great, but have been playing really well of late.
Okay.
But Rob, you were talking about the streakiness. So Navy did that this year. So we split with them, and then they won 7 in a row, and then they lost 4 in a row. And we were looking around going, what is going on with this team? But they've won 3 of their last 4, so they're starting to put it back in gear. They're really a different team than Army. They play small ball, so they have some guys at the top of the lineup who are hitting 300 or more, but they don't hit for power. They only have 15 home runs. Army has 51.
Yeah, that's like got to be the biggest change in the way that they play over the last couple of years since Coach Trask came on board.
Yeah. Yes. I'll talk about Coach Trask later.
Okay, fair enough.
Actually, they're playing Marist tonight, who, when I was a cadet, we played against Chris as a pitcher for Marist.
Oh, cool.
Yes,
that is awesome.
Right, you know, we didn't know that at the time, obviously. And then he was an assistant coach on the 09, which is probably the best Army team that we've had, maybe last year. He was there, and then he went back to Marist to coach. He is outstanding. So I went for him to actually 2 series last year. They played in Fort Worth and also in Fayetteville, Arkansas, when they played the University of Arkansas. And I had to tell him, you should probably go like pay attention to the team now, because he just spent so much time making us feel warm and just showing us how much he cares. And he's done that with our whole team. We went and visited for a reunion. We were taking batting practice on the field. Really has bent over backward. And he's just like the nicest guy. I think the players really like playing for him. I can't say when he won the Patriot League last year, he was getting interviewed and he like mentioned our classes. He was mentioning like General Franks and like the class of 02, but like, it was And he just gets it. It's a difference, and it's awesome. Like, I can't say enough good about him. He kind of has some academy background. He is here for assistant coach for a year, and his wife, I think her father was the basketball coach for a while, women's basketball coach. So, anyways, I get back to that. But anyways, great guy. Navy's a small ball team. They field really well, like 0.98. That's a fantastic fielding position. Army's a little bit lower, so they field really well. They steal a lot of bases. They stole 78 bases this year.
Interesting. Okay.
Giving up 61, and Army's gotten 61 bases. So we've stolen quite a few, but our catcher's only allowed 15 of 25. That just shows you how good Army's catcher is. Derek Berg, and we'll talk about him a little on his hitting, but he's an outstanding defensive catcher. So I think that's going to negate that. Also, Navy's home field is really big. If you look at the dimensions, it doesn't look that big, but there's a really big left field as it bows out, and it plays really big, which is why I think they have fewer home runs. But Double Day has not played like that recently. Double Day has played really small. So we had 5 home runs in a game last weekend, and we had 5 home runs in a game the weekend before that. It had been 2008 that we had 5 home runs.
That's wild.
Yeah, like the ball is flying out. You know, if you look at it on Google Maps, Double Day's facing straight south.
Right. But
the wind's coming off the Hudson. And you got a polo ball there blocking all the wind, and it just takes off. And that's what it was doing last week. Like, I saw some of the balls that hit, and I didn't see them land. So I think that bodes really well for Army because they have 3 guys with 12 or more homers.
Okay.
That was 7. Navy has 15 home runs total. So
absolutely.
Power like that, we have the higher potential to do that. And then we can neutralize their stolen bases with Bird behind the dish. And so I think that's going to negate their running as well. What else? So Army has really good hitters at the top of the line. The first 6 are hitting really outstanding. There's 3 that are just not going to cover off the ball. So I'll talk about them a little bit more detail. So let's see, Derek Berg and Sam Moreno. So Berg started the season really slowly, about like 1-200 for a while. He has caught on fire. He's won the Patriot League Player of the Week the last 2 weeks. He had 7 home runs in the last 2 weekends.
That's unbelievable.
On fire. And he's the one who's the good defensive player as well. And then Ruda, who has been a consistent player for 4 years. I mean, he's a professional hitter. That's like the highest compliment you can give in baseball. They're a professional hitter. That's what he does. He started the season really hot, slowed down a little bit. They dropped him the order a little bit, and he's really picked up hitting home runs. He recently broke the home run record for Army career.
Okay.
Then he broke the all bases. So
yeah, I saw the bases, and I saw that he'd broken more than one record, but I didn't see what the other record was.
Yeah, he's a really good hitter, and they're kind of all catching fire right now. That's why he saw 5 home runs in a game, and they're really, I think they've hit the 8 multi-home run games by players. So players hit multi-home runs in games 8 times this year.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is impressive. The other one I want to talk about is William Parker, kind of out of nowhere. So both of those guys are...
Right. Ruda and Berg, we're expecting
exactly.
This.
They've been all conference both for the last 2 years. And Ruda might have been as a plebe too. But Parker played a little bit last year. He is clubbing the ball. He's leading the team in average, 378, has 12 home runs, and he's reached base in all but the second game of the season. So 37 games.
Oh, my God.
So their offense is clicking. They have another guy with 7 home runs up there. And the guys who aren't hitting for power in the top of the lineup are hitting for average.
Okay.
You know, the last couple hitters, they're still putting together, but their offense has been clicking. And like you were saying earlier, Rob, like they put some 20 on the board. They put high count, so they're hitting really well. So pitching has been really weird in the Patriot League this year. Historically, good pitchers do well in the Patriot League because it's not a top-notch league, and you can usually get through orders and do well. Army had 2 preseason preseason all-conference player pitchers. And Navy had 1, and all 3 of them are struggling.
Interesting.
Like, and they kind of lost their spots in the rotations at times. Their ERAs are around 6. One of them went from a 9-2 record last year to 1-5 this year.
Oof.
They've just been struggling at the top of the pitching lineup. both teams. Navy's got maybe a little more at the top of the lineup with another consistent pitcher, but Army's had a couple of guys step up, including Justin Lehman, who also hits when he's not
pitching. Yeah, he's Army's Shota Ohtani. Did I say that right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's like that John Rule, like Ohtani guy. Like,
yeah.
He's hitting well. He's contributing there, and his ERA is 1.69. So, and he's leading the team in wins, or tied for the lead in wins. So he's really picked it up, and that's great because they needed that. And also, if you look at Army's pitching, they have the lowest batting average against them, and they have the best ERA in the conference. So their pitching's doing well. It's just that top-end pitching that hasn't been performing this year, but they can step it up, right? We all have a chance. But another weird thing about the Patriot League is the scheduling. And I'm going to get off soapbox a little, but it drives me nuts. So when you're playing a baseball series, a lot of it's getting into the later pitching and seeing how you do. But the Patriot League now will split it up. So, for example, when Army played Navy in their first series, they played them two games, and then they drove to Holy Cross and played two games. Well,
yeah, that's wild.
Seeing the two best pitchers from both teams that weekend, and then they do it again the next time, and you might not see their third and fourth pitcher. And if you're the worst team in the league, you might only see the third and fourth pitcher. So it sets up these kind of weird dynamics. Fortunately, this time they're gonna get to the third game. And so hopefully you see some more pitching depth, which I think will pay off for Army as well. Because sometimes if you face one or two pitchers, like, you might lose. The other nice thing about this weekend is it's three games. And that's how the playoffs are set up. So you got to learn how to play three games. And I think this is the most telling of how they're going to do in the future. If Navy and Army keep winning like they have been, they should meet up in the Patriot League Championships at West Point for the whole thing. So a repeat of this weekend. So that would be pretty neat.
So I do have to ask you, what on earth happened with Army playing Fordham early in the season? I saw Fordham was on the schedule like one of the first games in the season, and then they opened against Fordham with like a random in-conference game early, and they end up dropping either two out of three or all three of those games, and Fordham is apparently terrible because they're not even in the top half of the league.
Fordham's not in our league.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I'm not sure what conference they're in, but they're not in our league. There's only six teams for baseball.
Oh my God. I did not know that. All right. I withdraw my question.
No, but it's a good question because there's midweek games, right?
Yeah.
In midweek games where traditionally you kind of throw the younger guys, you give them some innings, but now we're playing conference games at some midweek games.
Yeah.
So that becomes even more complicated. The schedule's just gotten really complicated. And the traveling, like in between, like, fortunately, Navy's going to travel to West Point and be able to play there, but to have to travel down to Annapolis, the next day travel to Holy Cross, and then that's crazy. And they need to change that, but that's just my bias. I think it's going to be a really exciting weekend. You were talking earlier, Rob, about the excitement of college baseball. There's nothing to me more exciting than that regional weekend when there's 64 teams playing. You can throw that like five TDs on at the time, kind of like bowl season. And they'll show you the highlights. They're like, oh, here's a home run here. Here's a home run here. Here's a pitching chance here, a reliever. And that to me is, I take that weekend off from call and I'm like, I'm just going to. And Army's usually in it. And so that's great. So hopefully they can keep that up. They've done great the last 5 years. And we're so proud of them as alums. We're like, we were like a mid-level team. They really upped that ante. And we're really proud of them. And I just want to keep them up.
The level of sports competition at the academy in general is so unbelievable. I mean, I feel like that too. When I watch the swim team, you know, like I wasn't a bad swimmer back in the day. You know, I know sort of how I stack up, but the things these kids are doing is just unbelievable.
Yeah,
and I can't even fathom having the time to put into it like that. So yeah, man, I hear that. Like, these teams are good. Like, they're so much better than they used to be.
And credit the coaches. I mean, they're finding new players in the recruiting, which isn't always easy.
Yeah.
But it's that message. It's selling that message. It's the opportunities that come from it. And
Go to Army and you can play baseball and major in life sciences and go to Iraq and go to medical school.
Yeah. No, I mean,
which to be honest with you, is not a thing you can do virtually anywhere else.
No. When I was in medical school, I was on the Board of Regents for the University of Texas. So there's one, like, that was because I went to West Point. Like, the governor chose it. There's 220,000 students. They see West Point. They're like, yeah,
we'll take this guy.
This opens up opportunities. Like it, so I will never regret. And a lot of it comes down to opportunities in life, right? Like it's
yeah, absolutely.
What you chose to do, and the doors are open, which ones you walk through. So I couldn't say more about my opportunities from art.
Yeah,
and I also have like 12 guys that are from my team as seniors together that we text every day. Like that's just
constant
in touch, and I think that's pretty unique. But I don't think it's uncommon amongst grads because that's that connection we have.
Yeah, I think it legitimately. I have 2 points. The first point is, of course, you know, just the camaraderie of the athletic teams is unique. And what I tend to see after graduation and many, many years down the road is like the core squad athletes usually click a lot better than just like your average cadet as 40-year-olds. You know what I mean? Mm. Not that everybody's bad, but like that's how I ended up on Ask for Football because somebody put something out. And, you know, core squad athletes, we all kind of understand the suck. And we have that. It's kind of like when you know, if you're in the infantry and you see a dude with a Ranger tab, it kind of gives you that same level of kinship right off the bat because you know the work schedule, you know the load and how difficult it is. And the other point of it is for all you cadets that may be listening to this, terrain analysis matters, right? So go back to Kyle's previous point of understanding, you know, how the slope of the baseball field is. That's just as relevant as like, hey, where am I going to park my tank on the reverse slope so I can get the best shot at the longest range? So, I mean, hey, sorry, I had to bring it up, but it's relevant, you know, as part of your life as a cadet, you know, you go through all this stuff and you're like, man, why am I doing this METT analysis? This sucks. And then, oh my goodness, like I can actually apply this to my sport or to my next career or something that I'm doing down the line.
Are you not going to take every advantage just afforded to you?
Yeah.
Of course you are.
Let me tell you one little question, thing about that, what you just set up. So they did a study and they said, which medical students become residents do well in residency. And they found two groups. One was people who played a musical instrument, makes sense, 10,000 hours. The second one was team sports.
Interesting.
Because they were able to work as a team. And so much we do in a lot of organization is teamwork. And it really is true in medicine. Like if we communicate and we work as a team, we'll succeed. And that's what they found. And I totally believe it. And so that's what people are looking for is people who are participating as a team to work on common goals.
Yeah, that's awesome. I appreciate that. And speaking of teams, we'll talk about the Army football team and transition into the spring game. Dano, you were able to go up to West Point and watch it. So
that experience was rad, right? My friend Terry, his son is a recruited tight end. I've mentioned that before. And so Terry called and he was like, listen, his wife Pam wasn't going. They had an extra ticket because you can invite two guests. He's like, you want to go with us? So I was like, sure, you know, and of course, half the people were like, oh, this is just your romantic partner. I was like, you know, yeah, whatever. but it was amazing, you know, that we went up there and I actually got to meet Coach Munkin for the first time, which was cool. And then, you know, we had dinner with not so much the team itself, but more with like the other parents and with some of the kids coming up from the prep school. And then we walked around. They've got like a whole sports museum there in the Kimsey Center, which is amazing. I mean, it's just, they should let more people go through that museum, if I'm being honest, because that thing is amazing. Saw the Commander in Chief's trophy. And I tried to put some of those pictures in the article that I wrote about it. You know, bottom line from the game itself is that I thought the offense looked good, like very good for this time of year. You know, usually early season, spring, you're sort of expecting the defense is going to be ahead of the offense. That is, I won't say that that's not what I saw, but I thought the offense, they moved the ball, which does not always occur at these spring games. Defense way harder to judge. Like you're just not seeing guys catch. You're not seeing, I mean, maybe a guy makes five tackles, but if you're not writing it down, I think it's hard to pick that up. And special teams got some work to do. On offense, Bryson Daly, like, I don't think it's a surprise that he looks good under center. Like we've seen this dude run under center when he was a yearling. He played awesome. And then he played awesome at the Coastal Carolina game. I thought he looked okay throwing the ball. I got to be honest with you, Army wide receivers not getting a lot of separation when I saw Daly throwing to him. And I don't know if that's the routes or, you know, coaches are looking for specific things. And I have no idea what they wanted to make Daly do. Dwayne Coleman, however, operated mostly out of the shotgun. And he's the presumed number two. Dude, he looked amazing. That dude has good burst running the football. He's got a strong arm. I think he's got more throwing accuracy than Daly. Like, I almost feel bad for the guy, because if they had to put him in and run the offense with him starting at starting quarterback, he would succeed. I think he would have a good season. It might be a different season. It might be more of a Kelvin Hopkins season to Bryson Daly's Ahmad Bradshaw, but that guy can play football. I think he's very good. And then we also saw a rising yearling, Cade Helms, at number three. Honestly, he needs to put on some weight, but I thought he looked good, making good decisions in the option. And then probably the biggest thing on offense is, dude, they got a stable of fullbacks, and those guys can tote the rock. They got this rising yearling fullback, Jake Rendina, 5'11", 265. He's maybe 10% body fat. I mean, he looks like he could be a pro wrestler. You know, he was a load out there. He was absolutely just destroying people. At one point, I think he must have been averaging like 7.5, 8 yards a carry on just the fullback dive. Like, dudes could not tackle this man. Granted, Army's got an experienced offensive line coming back. So if you got a bunch of experienced O-line players playing against a bunch of scout team level defenders, you're liable to get the fullback dive breaking free. But I'm telling you, they got Kanye Udo, they got this kid Rendina, they got some other kids. I didn't really write about them, but there were 4 or 5 kids out there playing fullback that could really run the rock and looked good doing it. And then, like I said, special teams, we saw them miss 3 or 4 field goals. You know, Doink to short run off the uprights, and so they got some work to do there. I sincerely hope that field goals are not an adventure this season, but I think that's, if you're looking for something to worry about that, because that's in play. So these are my thoughts.
Their field goal kicker last year was excellent.
Yeah. And we've been spoiled over the last 2-3 years.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things. It's like, you know, graduation is always cool, because guys get to, you know, go out and go do their real job. Like, hey, you're going to the Army, you picked your branch, you get to do some cool stuff. But now it's like, okay, like, who's coming up next? Because sometimes, like, there's folks that are, you know, like the Ronnie Makedas of the world that's been on the scout team forever, and then somebody gets hurt, and then it's like, whoa, who is this guy? Like, where did he come from?
Right.
But that's the kind of talent that Army recruits year after year after year. So the first comment is like, hey, look, if you're not number one on the depth chart, stand by, because eventually, you know, you'll get your opportunity, whether that be, you know, through hard work or through incident, you're going to get your chance to shine. And that's one of the things that, you know, we always look for the coaches to make the calls and the decisions that are helpful. Good to hear that they're going back under center. I think everybody, you know, had some wailing and gnashing of teeth last season. But again, it's like, you got to do something different, you know, particularly as you're going into interconference play. And now your schedule is going to be set for the next, you know, foreseeable future. You have to, you know, come up with something. So I think the 1-2 punch of, you know, some type of shotgun variation and, you know, the under center flex bone will work. I mean, we saw the results of that. And, you know, God forbid, not like, if I'm a defensive coordinator now, I have to prepare for the shotgun with wide receivers running everywhere, or, you know, straight 315-pound cats smashing my defensive line and scraping and hit my linebackers in the face. So always good to see that. Kyle, you look like you got something to say.
No, it seemed like last year they tried to get in the shotgun because they knew Air Force and Navy were really prepared for that. It would be interesting to see. And even when they were successful, of course, Carlisle, they still went back to the gun against Navy because, like, that was something different. It would be interesting to see that use two different quarterbacks and their different strengths and how they develop Coleman as – you know, Daly's getting most of the reps, at, you know, and he's a tank like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, always injury when you're a running quarterback too, but he's real tough. But that's been really
sure. I would expect Coleman to see meaningful snaps this season just because that's reality of playing the under center triple option. What I saw mostly, they had Bryson Daly running under center. I say mostly, I mean, I wasn't out there keeping a snap count or anything. And just my impression was that Coleman was taking more snaps out of the gun. And I don't know if that's because they just wanted to see things out of specific guys. You know, who knows? I definitely don't think it's going to be like, okay, well, we're going to run a series with this guy, and now we're going to switch out and run different offense with a different quarterback. That I don't think is going to occur.
But Monken did say he wants to keep it alive. He said, we're not going all under center. Like,
no, they didn't take anything like all the snaps under center. They switched it up quite a bit. But if you remember, like, when Bradshaw was in there, they ran shotgun quite a bit too. It isn't like that wasn't in the playbook before. I
there were a million wrinkles to that Coach Thatcher offense, which I'm sort of sad we can't talk about more, because that offense, if they'd gotten to the point, if they'd gotten to the next level with it, would have been interesting to discuss. But I don't think that they were ever going to have enough speed to get outside consistently on better teams. And so once they were running between the tackles, you may as well go under center and pound it with the fullback.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, again, that's what you want your coaches to do, though, right? Make those in-game decisions that give you the best chance of winning, right? The teams that win in college football aren't necessarily the most athletic teams. They are the team that has the best athlete at the time and the coaches that can get those athletes in the best position to score, win, defend. All right, so we're going on to the mailing list. So do you like Army football but hate social media? Social media is a cesspool of scum and villainy, as we always say. However, we appreciate the 52 people that are listening to this show on Twitter right now, which is amazing. So we thank you guys for coming on. However, if you don't like all the other not-so-witty banter on social media, go to askforfootball.com/subscribe to join our mailing list. You'll get one email per week with all that week's content. It's too easy. It's one email, and that's how you keep up with Army sports and Ask for Football. So go to askforfootball.com/subscribe, jump on the mailing list, and you'll get emails from us, and then you'll hear and see what's going on with the Army football season next year. Dano, you have a favorite thing, or is, oh, that's on me. So,
Listen, I do have a favorite thing, but I know that you got something to promote. So,
okay. So cheap plug for the cheap seats. So for those of you guys that are going down to Tampa in the next couple of weeks for soft week, I am working with the Combat Diver Foundation. We are going to be shooting. We're going to be having a evening function at Harpoon Harry's.
Harpoons, God willing.
No, unfortunately, no. But we're going to have some recognition of the combat diver. So if you don't know anything about the Combat Diver Foundation, CDF is a grad. He's my classmate that started the foundation to preserve the history of the combat divers. Because as times and trends change, some of the things that were in vogue 20 years ago are not in vogue today. And so one of the things that he was trying to do is preserve a lot of the plaques that were down there at the dive school at Key West. And so started a foundation to do that. Every year, Lino will recognize a combat diver that has fallen in combat. Last year, we did Jimmy Moriarty. He was at Tower 22. That was just recently in the news for the drone attack. But in 2016, Jimmy lost his life defending his soft team down there on the border of Jordan, Iraq, and Syria. So we try and recognize those folks every year, but this is a great opportunity to do that. If you have not checked out Invader Girl Art, she has actually done a couple art pieces for us. There's going to be a raffle. So if you go to cdf.org, you can find all the information, sign up. It's free to come to the event. It's $20 for a raffle ticket, and you could win a pretty dope piece of glow-in-the-dark art. So if you are a combat diver, it's really cool because it's got the Frogman with the CDQC logo. That's going to be emblazoned in glow in the dark. So when the lights are low, you can see the diver logo. And if not, you can always talk to Sarah at Invader Girl Art. It's called blackcanvas.com is the name of her website. And you can commission art. And she does a lot of military first responder stuff. So it's really, really cool. But I'll pass it back to you, Dan.
Yeah. It's going to be an amazing sports weekend, which is kind of crazy to say that in late April. You got Army-Navy baseball. We talked about Army-Loyola lacrosse, which is extremely high leverage. Doesn't get any bigger than that, to be honest with you. You know, all these Patriot League lacrosse games, you could go three TVs if you wanted to. Plus UFL football, which we're not going to get into here, but the league has been pretty damn entertaining if you like football. Like, the quality of football is worth watching. So if you can't find some sports, actual sports to watch this weekend, the only reason is because you are not trying. It is absolutely going to be out there. And personally, I feel blessed because this time of year is usually that's tough to find.
Yeah, usually it's pretty slim pickings as far as sports are concerned. But we're going to wrap this thing up. Thanks to everybody that checked in on Twitter. If you are not a blue check, consider it so you can actually interact with us on the show, because that's
No. If you listen, we're doing this as a publicity stunt to get people to watch a show, and it's good.
But when football season comes around, we're going back behind the paywall. I'm sorry, but we got bills to pay, and y'all are going to have to get on Patreon to support us. I do not feel bad asking for the money because we got to stay on the air. Like, that's just reality. So
yeah, and for the record, it's much, much cheaper to be a firstie than it is for you to have a blue check.
That's true. That's true.
Just a thought. But for the team here, I'm Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We've got Kyle calling out of Little Rock, Arkansas, and wrapping up with Dano Ikebasa in Coastal Carolina. This has been the As for Football, As for Lax show, and we will talk to you guys in a couple weeks. Thanks.
Beat Navy.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to the As for Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as the As for Football team brings you more Army football and American Conference analysis. We would like to thank our Patreons, particularly the Firstie Club, for supporting the show. If you're interested in joining the Firstie Club, go to patreon.com and search for As for Football. You can access more content on our website by signing up for our mailing list at asforfootball.com/subscribe. Thanks for listening to the Army Football Show. And as always, beat Navy.